Well, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is that time again. That time when the crew at Nindlingari get together and try and talk to you over the radio waves about all things health. Only this time, it's a little bit different because the whole crew isn't here. They've abandoned me. They've left me in a studio all by myself to do a whole radio show for you, the listener. So look, I hope you enjoy it. Now, today, we're going to be talking a little bit about heart disease. I've got a bit of a mega general health quiz for you, a cracking recipe. I'm even going to throw in a little bit of music just to try and spice things up a little bit, which might have a little bit to do with the actual recipe we got today. Now, I hope you want to stick around because it is going to be a good show, even if no one else is here to talk to me. So I'll do my damnedest to try and talk to myself. And, you know, other than that, I think probably we should just get on with the show, eh? It'll happen when you're fishing or at the park with the kids. It can even happen when you open the front door. You see, every time you touch something, you have the chance of spreading germs. Now, these germs can make you sick with everything from coughs and colds to infections or runny tummy. But the good news is there's an easy way to help stop the spread of these germs, and it's as simple as washing your hands with soap and water. So when you're going about your day, remember, wash your hands. It's not too hard. Brought to you by Nindlingari Cultural Health Service. Do you know what this is? That's the time it takes to open a dressing pack. Don't believe me? Here it is again. Why not take the time to get your free dressing pack from Nindlingari today? Skin sores. Keep them clean, keep them covered up. Brought to you by Nindlingari Cultural Health Service. You are tuned in to the Nindlingari Radio Show right here on Wongi Radio, 936 AM, where we do aim to talk about health in an interesting way. Now, I am here by myself today, so bear with me a little bit. I will try and make this as entertaining as possible, as I possibly can, talking to myself. But I wanted to have a yarn to you today. Look, I'm going to do this in a bit of a two-parter. It's to do with heart disease. Now, I've got onto the old interwebs, as you do, and I've found the Heart Research Institute. Now, if you go onto this website, you might actually see the face of a bit of a Kimberly icon. Now, go on there and find out who that is. But look, I'm going to just read you a little bit from this particular website to do with heart disease in Indigenous communities. So why does this matter all that much? Sit back and have a listen, because it does kind of go in with the three-parter I've done so far with, you know, just talking a little bit about different heart conditions and heart health in general. So this one is really targeted towards, you know, how heart disease in Indigenous communities is such an issue, right? So the first question on this page goes, what is heart disease? So heart disease refers to a range of conditions that affect the heart. Oh, funny that. The term heart disease is often used interchangeably with the term cardiovascular disease, which refers to all diseases of the heart and circulation. These include coronary heart disease, arterial fibrillation, heart attack, congenital heart disease, and stroke. So any of these things, there's four or five of them there that are to do with your heart that go under this big banner that we call heart disease. So it doesn't matter which one of those you may or may not have, it does still come under the banner. So this is a bit of an overarching term for a lot of different things. So what causes heart disease? Well, the main underlying cause of heart disease is arteriosclerosis. This is a disease in which plaques that are made up of fat, cholesterol, calcium, and other substances build up in the walls of the arteries. So they're the blood vessels that carry blood from the heart throughout the body, right? So over time, these plaques, they harden, they narrow, and basically what happens is it restricts blood flow. And when these fatty plaques break open, they form a thrombosis, which is a fancy old word for blood clot, that can further limit or even block the blood flow altogether, which blocks the oxygen-rich blood cells to the organs and other parts of the body. So basically what happens if we don't look after ourselves in regard to, I don't know, I might go down and have a chicken and chips 7 days a week. Probably not a good idea, Ben. You've already got a little bit of a belly. But, you know, I'm building up that cholesterol, that calcium starts to form up inside the walls of these arteries. And basically it really does stop as much blood as we really need or we really want getting into
the rest of the body. So we can't get that oxygen around. And this causes a lot of different problems around the body, namely death. So look out for that. So heart disease actually kills 1 in 10 Indigenous Australians. Now, I'll leave that with you for a second. Heart disease kills 1 in 10 Indigenous Australians. That's scary. You could probably count 10 of your family members, 10 of your friends. One of those has a really high chance of dying of heart disease, which is quite scary, I think. How common is heart disease in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? I just said it. Heart disease in this is the leading cause of death among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, causing 1 in 10 deaths. I'll try and get this out without getting too tongue-tied, but Indigenous Australians are almost twice as likely to die from cardiovascular disease as non-Indigenous Australians. They are also more likely to die from cardiovascular disease at an earlier age than non-Indigenous Australians. So heart and circulatory, you know, basically that blood flowing around the body, these conditions contribute most to the disease burden of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and are major contributors to the gap in life expectancy between Indigenous and other Australians. This is a huge, huge issue and something I suppose we can all take on board, Indigenous or not, but in particular, 1 in 10 for Indigenous Australians are dying from a heart-related condition, heart disease in one form or another. So why are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people more often affected by heart disease? Well, this occurs because Indigenous people are more often affected by risk factors for heart disease, health conditions that can lead to heart problems and other forms of heart disease such as rheumatic fever. So things like rheumatic fever, which I am going to do a little bit of a special on coming in into the future. So we might get rheumatic heart fever. Children are the main ones that sort of suffer from this. And what that does is that can start to cause a little bit of a problem with your heart. And if you get it multiple times, it can actually affect the little valves in your heart, the boom, 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 the bits that open and close in your heart. They kind of get scarred up. So a little bit like that plaque building up on the arteries, it doesn't allow enough blood to flow through the actual heart itself. So this is another big issue. So rheumatic heart fever can turn to rheumatic heart disease and causes all sorts of grief. There are a number of ways that we can help to lower our risk of getting heart disease in any of its forms. And there are a number of risk factors. So we're going to come back a little bit later in the show and we're going to discuss those risk factors and, you know, some of the ways that we can reduce the likelihood of developing heart disease or heart disease issues. But look, you are tuned in to the Nindalingari Radio Show, the one-man show today. If you want to get in contact with Nindalingari for any reason, look, the easiest way to do it is to just jump on the phone, call us on 9193-0093. That number again, 9193-0093. And ask us any number of questions. We'd also love you to get onto the Facebook page, see some of the things we have been up to, and some of the things we will be doing. And look, if you want to get involved with our particular radio show, you can do that via the Facebook page as well. We look on there quite often. And if you've got any topics that you would like us to have a chat about, please get on there, leave some information for us, and we'll do our damnedest to do some research and come up with a bit of information for you guys to be able to digest over Wongi Radio, right here on Wongi Radio, 936 AM. Right across the Fitzroy Valley and beyond. And look, stay tuned because we've got heaps more of the show coming. Look, I'm going to come up with the quiz shortly. So it's going to be the first 5 questions of the quiz. So look, I'm really looking forward to you staying around. See how many of these questions you can actually get on the Nindalingari Radio Show.
Don't turn your cash into ash. If you were to smoke a packet of 25 cigarettes per day, the cost to you is $172.27 per week.
In the 7 years since that ad was made, a pack of 20 smokes will now cost you almost $40. If you smoke a pack a day, you could pay $279 a week. That means you'll pay $14,534 a year. That's an increase of more than $6,000 over the past 7 years, and this cost will only go up. With that sort of money, you could buy
a big mob of groceries,
a
flash car,
a brand new boat,
a family holiday.
What would you buy with your $14,000? If you want to make a change, call Nindalingari on 9193 0093 or drop in for a yarn to help kickstart your quit journey. Brought to you by Nindalingari Cultural Health Service.
Welcome to the quiz. Round one.
On the Nindalingari Radio Show.
Yes, it is round one of the mega general health quiz this week. I'm going to try and do this in three parts. There's going to be 15 questions all up. These are the first five, right? So 15 question mega general health quiz coming your way. Now, we can't do the quiz unless we've got some suspense music that might or may or may not make you feel a little bit uneasy. But hey, that's what we're all about. So here it is. Ooh, intense. Here we go. Question one. What is the strongest muscle in the human body? Question one. You might be thinking a lot of different muscles. There's quite a few of them. But what is the strongest muscle in the human body? Ooh, interesting. Question two. What part of the body has the largest bone? Got a mob of bones as well. Like, we've got a whole skeleton full of bones. There's heaps of them. There's a mob in your fingers. There's a mob in your toes. They're everywhere, right? But there's a specific part of your body that has the largest bone. And look, and I'll give you an extra point if you can actually tell me what that bone is called. Other than that, what part of the body has the largest bone? Question two. What is the best thing to drink to keep you hydrated? Now, there's a number of things you can choose here, but one really does reign supreme above the others. You might be thinking along the lines of something in particular. That may or may not be the answer, but what is the best thing to drink to keep you hydrated? That was question three. Now, while you're scribbling down or trying to remember what all these questions were, I'm going to throw question four at you. What does halitosis mean? If you don't know what this is, you're about to learn something. And if you do, you're going to get it right. So question four, what does halitosis mean? Now, I want to move on to question five, and then we'll come back and we'll find out what these answers actually are. But question five is, approximately what percentage of your body weight is muscle? Question five of the first part of the quiz, approximately what percentage of your body weight is actually muscle? Find out after this.
Deep in the bandage jungles of the Fitzroy Valley lived a bear who grew up wild. Now he's on a mission to help people, one sore at a time.
Hiya, Pop the Bandage Bear here with another first aid tip. Do you know that if you simply wash and cover your skin sores, they will heal quicker and have a less chance of getting infected? This tip and plenty more brought to you by Nindalingari Cultural Health Service. And oh yeah, don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
You are tuned into the Nindalingari Radio Show with me, Ben, trying to talk my way through an hour worth of content that hopefully people get some quality facts out of. Now, we just did the first part of the quiz. I say part because I'm trying to get through three parts in this particular show. Question one was, what is the strongest muscle in the human body? Now, the answer to that is actually the heart. Yeah, heart is the strongest muscle. And when you think about it, it does not stop. Boom, 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 boom. All the time. It's going the whole time. The rest of our body generally gets to have a bit of a sleep, you know, but not the heart. It has to pump the whole time. Question two. What part of the body has the largest bone? Now, if you said the leg, you'd be 100% correct. And you got the bonus point if you actually said the femur. The femur bone is the longest and strongest bone in the body. Located in the thigh, it spans from the hip all the way down to the knee joint and helps basically maintain your posture by supporting your whole skeleton. So it's got to take your whole weight and do a fair whack of movement. So that's the bit between your hip and your knee, the femur. The body part was the leg, so bonus points were available there. Question three was, what is the best thing to drink to keep you hydrated? Very simple answer. If you said water, You're 100% correct. There are a number of other things that do keep you hydrated, but none do it better than water. It's quite interesting. That question four, what does halitosis mean? So what if I was to say bad breath? Halitosis, or chronic bad breath, is something that mints, mouthwash, or a good brush just can't solve. Unlike morning breath or a strong smell that lingers after, I don't know, a tuna sandwich or something, halitosis remains for an extended amount of time and may be a sign of something more serious. So if you've got bad breath or people are complaining, looking at you thinking, hey, mate, time to brush the old choppers, and it's not going away, you might want to go and get that checked out by the doc. Head down to the old clinic and say, hey, I've got this bad breath. What's it caused by? Question five. Approximately what percentage of your body weight is muscle? If you said 40%, you'd be 100% correct. Yeah, 40% on average is muscle in our bodies. That's not too bad, is it? How did you go on the first half of the quiz? The first third of the quiz. There's five questions there. How'd you go? I'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page. Let me know. Now, I wanted to actually play a bit of music in this particular radio show. This is a band that come out of Northeast Arnhem Land. They're called King Stingray, and this is their first single. It's called Looper.
Fishing, you want the sharpest hook and the strongest line you can to make sure you land that big barra. And when you're cutting a tree, making a garden or building a fence, you want the best possible tools to finish the job. So why should your approach to COVID-19 be any different? If you want the best possible tools to help your family stay safe from coronavirus, get your COVID shot today. Anyone over the age of 12 can get it. It's as simple as two little needles, and it means you have the best protection available to help fight against this life-threatening sickness. Do your bit to keep you and your family safe. Get your COVID shot today. Brought to you by Nindalingarri Cultural Health Service.
You're tuned in to the Nindalingarri Radio Show, right here on Wongi Radio, 9:36 a.m., right across the Fitzroy Valley. So far, we've had a bit of a quiz. We've talked a little bit about heart disease, what it actually is. We are going to go a little bit further into that and find out, you know, what are the risk factors, what can make it worse or more likely for you to develop heart disease, and then some of the things you could do on the opposite end of the scales that, you know, make yourself a little bit more sturdy against something like heart disease, give you a little bit more of a chance against it. Right now, I actually wanted to do this one.
Try this.
Try out the watering healthy recipe.
Fresh from the Nindalingarri Cultural Health Service kitchen.
Yeah, it's recipe of the week time. Now, come up with this little bit of a beauty, if you will. If you like your beans and you like your beans spicy, you might actually like this recipe. Now, there's really only four ingredients that go into this. Obviously, we could talk about all the other things that you could take it to the next level with, but I'll give you this base recipe that you can actually, you know, most things you could keep in your cupboard all the time, or your fridge for that matter, and then you can just add anything you want to that to take it to the next level, right? So this particular recipe for spicy beans serves six. So you want 1.5 sort of large red onions. If you've got two and you love your onion, throw the both of them in. It's not really that much of a drama, is it? Then you want 3 600-gram cans of 3 bean mix. You know, the big cans, they're nice little cans. You can get red beans, black beans, kidney beans, all sorts of things. But there's one that's got 3 different beans in it. That's the best because you just get the variety, you know. You also want 3 600-gram cans of diced tomatoes. If you can find a bigger can than that, you might not need to use 3. But anyway, and 3 tablespoons of Mexican or Cajun spice. I've always found the Cajun spice is usually a little bit spicier, a little bit more chilly straight out of the packet, if you know, your little spice mix, than the Mexican is. But, you know, choose which one you like. So basically, in a hot pan or a pot you could use if you want to make a double batch, you're going to need some high sides. So in a pot or pan, fry off the onions until they're nice and golden brown. It takes about 5 or 6 minutes. Then put the rest of the ingredients in the pot. Yeah, it's that simple. Bring it all to a gentle boil. You don't want to be burning the bottom and boiling the bejeebus out of it. So just bring it up to a nice, slow, gentle boil. Then drop the heat down and let it just simmer on its own for about 2 hours. Stir it every now and again to stop it sticking or burning to the bottom. And, you know, with this one, it's kind of like one of those slow cooker recipes. The longer you cook it for, the more those flavors intensify and amalgamate and just taste fantastic. So the longer you can cook it, the better. But, you know, aim for a minimum of about 2 hours if you can. You know, you could serve it on rice. You could put it on toast if you want. If you want to take it to the next level, you could put it on toast and have a few eggs. And you know, you might have a really healthy, hearty, all-day breakfast there. What would you do with spicy beans? Now, I'll run through those ingredients for you really, really quick. I just use 1.5 red onions. Look, if you don't have a red onion, use a brown onion. It doesn't matter. 3 600-grams of 3 bean mix or any of the beans you like. Not your baked beans. Don't use those because we're kind of making these baked beans. So use a 3 bean mix that's, you know, just got the beans in it. 3 600-gram cans of diced tomatoes, and then a bit of Mexican or Cajun spice mix. Then you put as much of that in as you really want to make that flavor nice and spicy. Fry off the onions, then add everything else in there and bring it up to a slow boil for about 2 hours. But if you can last longer, it's going to be a hell of a lot better because those flavors just really do intensify. Look, please get on our Facebook page and tell me what you would add to these spicy beans to take it to the next level. And I'll mention that on the next show, see what people are saying, and then we'll do a bit of a recap of the spicy beans and see what you guys out there across the Fitzroy Valley are actually putting in your spicy beans to make them even better than the recipe that I feel's all right. But, you know, you might want to make it better. So, look, tell me what you do to do that. And in the meantime, We're going to get on with the rest of the show. Coming up, we're going to do, you know, round two of the quiz, so stay tuned.
Do you know what this is? That's the time it takes to open a dressing pack. Don't believe me? Here it is again. Why not take the time to get your free dressing pack from Nindalingari today? Skin sores. Keep them clean, keep them covered up. Brought to you by Nindalingari Cultural Health Service.
Welcome back for round two of the Nindalingari Radio Quiz.
It is round two of the Nindalingari Radio Quiz, the 15-question mega general health quiz, if you will. That's how good this quiz is. It is that mega and general that we've had to have 15 questions just to make sure we've nailed most of it. So look, I hope you went well in the first round. There's five questions, you know, to do with the heart and all sorts of things, waters, legs, bones, all that sort of stuff, even muscle. But we might be starting to get into territory that's a little bit trickier. So if you've got your pens or the mental capacity to remember questions, because I'm absolutely terrible at that, I'd need a pen to write down my answers, but here we go. Question 6. What mineral does your body need to have strong, healthy bones? What mineral does your body need to have strong, healthy bones? Now, your body itself doesn't actually produce this mineral in any sort of stretch of the imagination, so we need to get it basically from the food we eat. So what mineral does your body need to have strong, healthy bones? It might sound like an easy question at the start, but think a little bit deeper. Is it really that simple? Question 7. Which of your organs has stopped if you are experiencing a cardiac arrest? This has nothing to do with the cops, so no, don't get stressed out there. Which of your organs has stopped if you are experiencing a cardiac arrest? We probably get a few of these through the valley, which is quite unfortunate, to be quite honest. It's not a great thing to have had happen to anyone, really. Question 8. This one comes down to the periodic table. I don't know how much of that you may remember from school or not, but what is sodium chloride? And why would I be talking about it? There's another little question for a bonus point. What is sodium chloride, and why am I talking about it? Oh, is that music starting to get to you? It's starting to get to me. My blood pressure's starting to rise. I'm getting anxiety building. Question 9. Which tubes carry oxygenated blood from the heart? Is it veins or arteries? Which tubes carry oxygenated blood from the heart? Is it the veins or is it the arteries? We'll find out shortly, but we've got to get through another question first. We've got to get to question 10. We are dividing this quiz into 3 5-question lots. So question 10 goes like this. How many patellas, or patellae, if you want to use the correct term, do human beings have? Think about what a patella is, and how many of them do human beings have? Incidentally, if you've got two of these, it'd be called patellae. How many patellas, or patellae, do human beings have? That's round two done for the questions. We're going to come back and find out what the answers to those specific questions were right after we hear a little bit more from Bob, who's, you know, out in the jungles just trying to help people out, you know?
While walking through the park on a sunny afternoon, Bob the Bandage Bear stumbles across someone in need of a little assistance.
Hey, little fella. It's me, Bob. What seems to be the problem?
I fell off the monkey bar and cut my leg.
Well, you know what? We need to get that washed and covered up.
Nah, I'll be right, Bob. It'll look after itself.
Well, I'm afraid not, young fella. You see, there are a lot of germs that live on and around our body. If you don't take care of this cut now, it'll get infected and you could end up having to go to the doctor or spending time in hospital.
Oh, come on, Bobby's can't be that bad.
Actually, it can. But if you follow a few simple rules, it'll be healed in no time. All you have to do is 1. Clean the sore with soap and water. 2. Cover it with a dressing like a Band-Aid. and you can get Mum or Dad to pick up a free dressing pack at Nindalingari today.
Thank you, Bob.
Oh, no worries, little fella. And don't forget, change your dressing every day and you'll be healed as quick as you can say, Nindalingari. Another successful afternoon for Bob the Bandage Bear.
You are tuned in to the Nindalingari Radio Show right here on Wongi Radio 936 AM, going right across the Fitzroy Valley and beyond. You can find us online as well. If you do look up Wongi Radio online, there's a number of different places that you can actually stream the this particular show and every other show, all the great content that Wongi Radio does make. Look, other than that, get that AM dial if you're in the Fitzroy Valley anyway. Anywhere, right down to 936 AM, and you can hear all the great content coming out of the Wongi Radio studios and beyond. Now, we are here because we've got through the second part of the three-part quiz this week. Now, question six was this. What mineral does your body need to have strong, healthy bones? Now, just take this into consideration. Your body cannot make this particular mineral. Now, the mineral I'm talking about is, yes, indeed, calcium. Bones are the main storage site of calcium in the body. Your body can't make calcium. The body only gets it from the food you eat. Or, you know, if you have to have supplements or whatever, talk to your doctor about that or your nurse, and you might need some tablets, whatever. If you do not get enough calcium in your diet, or if your body does not absorb enough calcium, your bones can get weak or won't grow properly. Great sources of calcium do include, obviously, we talk about this, dairy. So, you know, things like milk, yogurt, cheese. But there are some other sources that you might not think calcium is really a part of. So sardines, I don't know if anyone eats sardines. I don't mind a bit on toast or a sandwich every now and again. Or canned salmon. So I know across the valley, a lot of people do get into the tinned tuna. But the salmon and the sardines, they've actually got these little edible bones in them. So you actually eat the bones. And those bones, funnily enough, like our bones, contain a lot of calcium. So just by eating those, you're increasing your calcium intake. But it's more the salmon than it is the tuna and sardines, of course, because you're pretty well eating the whole fish minus the head. Another one I actually didn't know until researching this particular quiz was almonds. They've also got a great amount of calcium as well. So, like, you know, you can get almond milks and all those. And even if you are on soy milks and things like that, a lot of those milks that aren't dairy, so they don't come from the cows or goats or whatever, they are fortified with different things like calcium. So they put a little bit of it in there to make sure it's a more nutritious thing. But you can also get calcium from things like leafy greens, so like spinach, kale, any of those big green leafy things that you might have in your salads. They've all got a, apart from a heap of other nutrients as well that are great for maintaining a healthy body, they've also got good amounts of calcium. So that's another way that we can get it into us without having to need to particularly have supplements or things like that. So question six, the answer was you do need calcium to have strong, healthy bones. Question seven was, which of your organs has stopped if you're experiencing a cardiac arrest? So a cardiac arrest is commonly called a heart attack. So the organ that has stopped if you're experiencing a cardiac arrest has to be your heart. Well done if you got that right. Question eight. I asked, what is sodium chloride? And then I give a bonus question as to why would I be even asking you that. Look, sodium chloride is salt. The reason I'm asking is because too much salt is actually bad for us and it increases our blood pressure and it can cause all sorts of problems for not just our heart but also our kidneys as well. Look, if you're thinking about kidneys with high blood pressure, what generally happens is inside your kidney, there's this little thing called a nephron, and that's like the little tiny filter inside your kidney. So you might have a million of these in one kidney, right? So most of us have got two kidneys, so we could have a couple of million nephrons. If the blood pressure gets too high, imagine it like if you've got a hose, you're squirting the hose and you want to get a little bit further with the, you know, that water. So you put your finger over the end. You're blasting away, you're getting the plants at the end of the garden, you don't have to go anywhere, but you might put your finger a little bit too far, and then all of a sudden the pressure builds up in that hose and it blows off the connection to the tap, so then you're going to run to the tap and turn it off. So it's kind of very similar to that. What happens with we have too much salt, our blood pressure does rise, and what it can do, instead of blowing the hose off the tap, it actually basically blows up these little nephrons. And we can get away with losing a few of these and you don't even realise, but it's when we start to get big numbers of these nephrons, dying off or breaking because of that high blood pressure and other things, that we may need to have potentially a kidney transplant, or we might need to go on something like dialysis that can do all that for us. Now, the problem with going on to these particular things is that it really does get in the way of being able to lead an easy, normal sort of a life where you can just get up and do whatever you want, because we've got to remember that dialysis, you know, takes a little bit of time to do. And we might actually ask a question about that later on, but I'll stop yabbering on now and I'll ask you, or I'll give you an answer to question 9. Which tubes carry oxygenated blood from the heart? Was it veins or arteries? The answer is arteries. So arteries carry blood away from the heart and veins carry blood towards the heart. Just think of it like that. Pretty easy. Arteries take it away to the rest of the body. Question 10 was, how many patellas, I do know that that's the wrong word to use, the right word's patellae, if you will, so do human beings have? Look, I'll give you a bonus point if you can remember what a patella is. We have two of them. They're pretty well just below our femur, that long, hard, strongest bone in our body. It's a kneecap, otherwise known as a patella, the old kneecap. So how'd you go? You got 10 out of 10 so far with two bonus points. That gives us, I'll just give you another one. So there could be a potential for 13 out of 10 there. That's pretty good maths. Thank you very much. Now, we are going to get on with the rest of the show, but I thought, you know, we should probably have a little bit of a break first, and then we'll come back and we will find out a little bit about things we can do to help us and the things that don't help us in regards to heart disease.
Staying fit can be as easy as 30 minutes a day. Here's how the children at Mulliger School spend their 30 minutes.
Walking, basketball, fishing, bike riding,
gardening,
soccer,
hiding seed,
rodeo,
joking, netball, skateboarding,
dancing,
climbing trees,
swimming, skipping,
fighting monkeys.
Wait a minute, did he say fighting monkeys?
Whether it's fighting monkeys or kicking a footy, 30 minutes of physical activity is all it takes.
Brought to you by Mulliger School and Nindalingari Cultural Health Service.
Yeah, that's right. You're tuned into the Nindalingari Cultural Health Service radio show right here on Wonky Radio 936 AM, where we aim to talk about health in an entertaining way. Now, I say we today, it is literally me, four microphones, a computer and a mixing desk. And that's it. Pages and pages of information I'm trying to get through. And I'm trying to make this as lively and as entertaining as I can, being a one-man show. So it's quite interesting for me. I thank you for giving me the opportunity. Now, we did talk about heart disease in Indigenous communities. We talked about that massive statistic that said heart disease kills 1 in 10 Indigenous Australians. Think of 10 people in your family. Think of 10 people you know. There's every chance out of every 10 that you think of, one has a really high risk of passing away from heart disease. Now, we talked about heart disease, cardiovascular disease, if you will, but basically it can be a lot of different things can cause it. So it can be those buildup of plaques, cholesterol, calcium, and all that in the blood that basically restricts the blood flow, and these sort of fatty deposits and calcium cause us a lot of grief, and that gives us heart issues, because basically without a heart we can't get any of the oxygen, any of the nutrients around the body, and we basically can fall off the perch, which isn't really good. We had a bit of a yarn about why Torres Strait Islander people seem to be more affected, what the causes are, basically a sedentary lifestyle really, but what are some of the risk factors again? We'll go through that now. While some risk factors for heart disease cannot be changed, most heart disease risk factors can be reduced by adopting a healthy lifestyle. So we can't change everything. We do have genetics that play an issue. So, for instance, if your father or mother or grandfather has or had heart disease of some way, shape or form, there's every chance you're at a little bit of a higher risk of developing it as well. But that doesn't mean you can't do anything. So many risk factors for heart disease are higher for Indigenous Australians. These include smoking, right? So smoking. Indigenous Australians' rate of smoking is almost 3 times that of non-Indigenous population. So Aboriginal Australians smoke, well, there's three times as many people smoke in Aboriginal Australia as there are in the rest of the country. Passive smoking or being exposed to secondhand smoke also leads to a higher risk of developing heart disease and cancer, of course. It's estimated that 2 in 5 Indigenous people smoke and 1 in 5 deaths of Indigenous people is caused by smoking. It is the single most important risk factor for heart disease in Indigenous Australians. So, oh my goodness, smoking. It's one of the biggest risk factors. So if you are smoking and you're thinking that you might want to give it away, have a bit of a break from it and stop it altogether, look, you can call Bree. She's the smoking cessation officer right here at Nindalingari. Just give her a call on 9193-0093 and she'll have a bit of a yarn to you about ways that you might be able to give up the smokes, quit, and she'll go through a few different things to help you. Other than that, she is going around the whole valley. I'm usually right beside her when she does it. We're going to knock on every house and she's just going to ask a few questions. So we're trying to get these statistics that I spoke of to do with the cigarettes and how many people, three times the amount as the rest of the country. But we want to get Fitzroy Valley specific data. So we're going to every house and just going to ask a few questions. If you're keen, answer your door. And it's literally, is there anyone smoking here? How many? We don't put any names on the page. Everything's kept anonymous. It's literally so that we can tailor this smoking cessation program to basically what the Fitzroy Valley really wants or could use. Now, another risk factor for heart disease is high blood pressure. So Indigenous Australians are more likely to have high blood pressure than non-Indigenous people. Okay, this raises the risk of coronary heart disease, heart failure and stroke and kidney disease. Many Indigenous people have high blood pressure but do not know that they have the condition. It's not one of those things you notice really quickly, particularly if it's starting to build slowly, you know, you don't feel different. It's just a tiny bit each day. And then all of a sudden it's massive amounts of blood pressure, which I spoke of earlier in the quiz, actually, that can really affect the kidneys. But it also causes heart problems because too much pressure. You think about a pump on a tank or something. If you start throwing too much water at it and that pressure builds up, you're going to break the pump. It just can't handle that much. Another risk factor is diabetes. Indigenous Australians are 3.5 times more likely to have diabetes than non-Indigenous people. Diabetes raises the risk of heart attack, angina, and stroke by up to 4 times. We spoke a little bit about rheumatic heart disease. So acute rheumatic fever can lead to heart valve damage if you get it too much. And basically that's an issue with your heart. We really need to look at and think about the younger people probably more at risk than older people. So you generally develop these issues as a younger person, which in turn causes a heart issue for that person for the rest of their life. It becomes chronic, so over a really long time. Physical inactivity is another thing. So not being, you know, sitting down too much, not getting out, having a fish, running around, kicking a footy, and any of those things, doing gardening, all of that sort of stuff. That's another one. And being overweight, or they call it obesity here. Indigenous Australians are more likely to be above a healthy weight than non-Indigenous people. 60% of Indigenous men and 81% of Indigenous women have waist circumferences that place them at risk of developing a chronic disease. Now, all of this info I'm reading out to you now is actually come straight from the Heart Research Institute. If you want to get a copy of this page or anything else that they're actually doing, just look them up online. Go on Google. You can get there on your smartphone, computer, wherever you can get on the internet, and type in the Heart Research Institute and you will get a lot of this information. You know, other things, other risk factors for heart disease include age, so getting older, that's a risk factor on its own. A family history of heart disease, which we spoke of earlier. Being male, that's a bit of a buggy. You don't make much of a choice of that either, do you? High cholesterol or depression. So, you know, feeling no good in yourself and just feeling down and glum and a bit sad all the time can actually have a real negative impact on your heart. It can actually make your heart crook. So, yeah, think about that. Try and if you're thinking a little bit, sad or you know, any time of the day, really, or if you're not feeling all yourself, go and find someone to talk to. It doesn't have to be a doctor. It doesn't have to be, anyone in a professional capacity. But, you know, if it's bad enough, it's worthwhile talking to these people, counsellors and things like that. But even just having a yarn to your best mate, that's a great way that you can really start to think about, offloading some of those pressures you've got, that weight of the world on your shoulders. So depression is a big thing for the heart, not just your the way you feel or your mental capacity. Now, ways to reduce your risk of heart disease, including stopping the smoking, that's a fairly obvious one. Drink less alcohol as well. Manage your blood pressure. Eat healthier foods and manage high cholesterol if you need to. If there are medications you should be on, because the doctor says, make sure you get on them. Manage your diabetes. That means taking your medication as well, eating healthier, trying to move a little bit more, and increase your physical activity. Look, aim for about 30 minutes a day. We had a bit of a yarn about... we heard an ad, I should say, from the late great Roscoe. He is no longer at Nindlingarry, but he made a great ad about 30 minutes of activity a day. Just aim for it. You don't have to jog around and around in circles on the oval, but look, just getting out in the gardening and using your body, that all adds up to your 30 minutes a day. Try and maintain a healthy weight. And, take the medications you need. That's a really, really big one we need to consider is if you are on medication, we need to make sure we take them, because if we don't, we're really going to have a bit of an issue with whatever it is that medication's designed for. Now, you are tuned into the Nindlingarry Radio Show. I don't have an introduction for the third round of the quiz, because this is the first time it has ever happened. So I'm going to play the first one again, and then we're going to get into the third round of the 15 question mega general health quiz.
Welcome to the quiz.
Round 3
on the Nindlingarry Radio Show.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it here first. It is round 3 of the 15 question mega general health quiz. All right, question 11. What is the process called that is used to help people with sick kidneys by removing excess water and toxins from the blood? Now, a lot of people need to do this, it could be 3 times a week for at least 4 hours at a time. So what's the process called that is used to help people with sick kidneys by removing excess water and toxins from the blood? That was question 11. Now we're going to get on to question 12. At what stage of pregnancy does a baby's heartbeat start? Is it week 6, week 16, week 26, or week 36? What stage of pregnancy does a baby's heartbeat start? Is it week 6, week 16, week 26, or week 36? And question 13. What organ does hepatitis affect? Now, basically, there's hepatitis A through to, I can't even remember how far down the alphabet we are. There are a lot of different hepatitises. We get them in a number of different ways, but we're just talking about hepatitis as a whole. So there are lots of different ones, A, B, C, all that sort of stuff. But what organ in your body does hepatitis affect? Interesting. Question 14. How many muscles are in the human body? Ooh. You can start counting them by moving one at a time, but that might take you a little while because there's a considerable number. But how many muscles are in the human body? Question 15. A person with diabetes doesn't produce enough of what in the body? A person with diabetes doesn't produce enough of what in the body? Find out after this.
Staying fit can be as easy as 30 minutes a day. Here's how the children at Mullager School spend their 30 minutes.
Walking, basketball, fishing, bike riding,
gardening,
soccer,
hiding seed,
rodeo,
joking, netball,
skateboarding,
dancing,
climbing trees,
swimming,
skipping,
fighting monkeys.
Wait a minute, did he say fighting monkeys?
Whether it's fighting monkeys or kicking a footy, 30 minutes of physical activity is all it takes.
Brought to you by Mullager School and Nindlingarry Cultural Health Service.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may have noticed I didn't play the anxiety-inducing soundscape underneath the questions. I thought I'd save that for the answers of the third part of the mega quiz. Now, question 11. What is the process called that is used to help people with sick kidneys by removing excess water and toxins from the blood? If you said dialysis, you give yourself a big tick and a good point to go along with that. Most people that need dialysis have to dialyse 3 times a week. with each session lasting at least 4 hours, but it could be longer. And you know, if you're you may need to even have more times a week, but in general, it's 3 times a week and at least a 4-hour session. You're hooked up to the dialysis machine. Question 12: at what stage of pregnancy does a baby's heartbeat start? Was it 6, 16, 26, or week 36? It was actually week 6. Well done for those that knew the answer to that. I certainly didn't until researching this. Now, we talked about hepatitis and the fact that there is a lot of different variations of hepatitis and a lot of different ways that you can actually get this specific issue. So what organ does hepatitis affect? It's the liver. So hepatitis is an inflammation of the liver. It's pretty much what hepatitis means. Alcohol consumption, several health conditions, and some medications can all cause this condition. Well, that's quite interesting, isn't it? Question 14. How many muscles are in the human body? Answer to that was 600. And question 15. A person with diabetes doesn't produce enough of what in the body? Was it? Oh, I was going to ask you a multiple choice, but it wasn't multiple choice at all. The answer is actually insulin. So someone with diabetes can't produce enough insulin the amount of insulin you need to basically use the energy that you consume through food. So insulin's a hormone made in your pancreas, an organ in your body. Insulin allows your body to use glucose for energy. Glucose is the type of sugar found in many carbohydrates. So basically, you eat food, your body breaks down those foods into simple sugars. It's not like sugar that you might put in your cup of tea. It's from food that it's broken down, and that's how your body uses it. So it breaks down into simple sugars, and the insulin helps your body get those sugars and get that energy into your muscles, into your brain, and everywhere else. So if you don't have enough insulin in your body, you can't use all that energy, and you basically get chronic health issues like diabetes. So how did you go on the quiz? I will stop that just there. There we go. Oh, I can breathe again. How did you go on the quiz? Look, there was 15 answers to get right. We had a couple of bonuses, so I'm thinking somewhere between 17 and 18 potential points that you could have gotten. Look, I've got another King Stingray song I want to play for you guys. It's called Let's Go. I'm going to play it as I sort of speak and give a little bit of an outro. But yeah, thank you very much for pretty well getting involved with the Nindalingari Radio Show. As always, you can call us on 91930093 and talk to us about anything you want. But the Nindalingari Radio Show is going to leave you with King Stingray. Let's go.
Bye. and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Nindalingari Radio Show.